Shchodesh 7, 15th of May, Rabbi Avi Wiesenfeld, Shavuos Halachos and Inspiration.
Good morning. Tremendous pleasure to be here. I want to speak a little bit about the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, Abba Aleinu L'Toiva. In Parashas Yisroi, which is the makor for Kabbalah HaTorah, we have a very interesting Seder HaPsukim. In Perek Yutes, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says as follows, B'chodesh HaShlishi Lotzis B'nei Yisroel Meretz Mitzrayim B'yoyim HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. On this day, they came to Har Sinai. In Pasuk Beis, straight after that, it says, V'yisru Merefidim V'yavo Midbar Sinai V'yachon Midbar V'yachon Shom Yisroel Neged Ahar. Very interesting. Ask the Orchaim HaKadosh. What's going on? The Seder Advarim is very interesting. The first Pasuk tells us they came to Har Sinai. The second Pasuk is they started traveling from Rafidim and they got to Har Sinai. It should have been the other way around. First tell us where they left and then where they got to. The Orchaim HaKadosh writes something over here which the Mefarshim, when they bring down this Orchaim HaKadosh, say that when the Orchaim HaKadosh wrote this Pshat, there was fire coming from his pen. The Rechaim HaKadosh's Loshen is over here. He brings a Medrash, Ahava Mekalkeles Hashua. Sometimes, when a person is so excited, it gets a person mixed up. It says the Rechaim HaKadosh, the Torah was so excited for the event of Kabbalah HaTorah. The Torah was so excited for Shavuos, for Klal Yisrael to mekabel the Torah, that immediately had to say we got to Har Sinai, and then afterwards went through the details of the journeys and that they went through. Which is a tremendous, tremendous thing, because as you see from here, the Rechaim HaKadosh points out that the entire creation rests on the Yom Tov of Shavuos and Kabbalah HaTorah. It's an unbelievable Yom Tov, very, very special Yom Tov. Before we go into the Inyanim, and maybe the inspiration to give us something to come into Yom Tov with, so we had to talk a little bit about the Halachas, and as I tell the Bochum all the time, at the end of the day, you know, Kabbalah HaTorah is the time we got the Torah. How interesting it would be if we don't actually keep that Torah which we received on Shavuos and not keep various halachas. So I'm not here for very long. I literally just arrived about a couple of hours ago from New York, and I'm going immediately back to Eretz Yisrael in a few hours as well. I figured after speaking about five or six cities in America, how can I not come to my hometown, my London, and talk a little bit over here. So I'm going to try and pack in as much as I possibly can in the minutes that we have, give us various, point out various shilas that come up, especially this year, maybe more specifically, and then emit to Shem a little bit of an idea of the Yom Tov of Shavuos in various different mefarshim and explanations. So first of all, this year we have, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz, it starts on a Motzei Shabbos, which always poses a various numbers of problems, or not problems should we say, but issues that have to be resolved and situations that have to be worked out. Number one, those people that are staying up Shavuos night, it's a very good opportunity to have a good shluch, a good sleep in Shabbos afternoon. The question is that a Maisa Hachona? Right, we know there's a Issa Hachona, or Rechaim Semeshin Chav Gimel tells us that a person is not allowed to be Meichin, not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to after Shabbos, and if I'm preparing by having a good sleep on a Shabbos afternoon, specifically for after Shabbos, for Shavuos to enable me to stay up at least for an hour or two longer than I normally do, am I allowed to do that? So the halacha is Mefurshim Ogen Avram, that as long as you don't say what you're doing, you're just going to sleep, that's fine. In fact, the Oznit Brewer, Binyamin Zilber, wants to say that you're even allowed to say that I'm doing it to have more koyches for Shavuos, because it's the Tzorich Mitzvah, and there's no problem whatsoever. Sudish Lishish, Shalashud, this also obviously is a problem, as is brought down in the Sha'atzin and Tovkov Choftes. The halacha is you're not allowed to have a Suda within after the 10th hour of the day. So make sure, look up in the calendar, I have no idea what it is here in London, before the 10th halachic hour of the day, not to have a Suda. Those that do later than that, obviously, for those that do, especially those that are makbel on the Arizal, when it comes to having Shabbos Shulis after Mincha. So the Ramah says, the Mishabura Paskins, that you can eat, you can wash, but don't eat more than a kebetza of pas. That's the psak of the Chofetz Chaim, that if you are eating Shabbos Shulis later than the 10th halachic hour of the day, do not have more than a kebetza of pas. There are those people, and again, these are also a whole sugya and a whole shir to itself, split up the meal, the lunch in itself, have a walk for 5-10 minutes, have a shini makom, and come back inside, rewash, rebench, and everything else in order to split it up that way. But again, that's a share in itself to figure out how long you need and everything else. Hadlokas aneiris. So you cannot prepare the candles and the wicks on Shabbos for the hadlokah. And Yontov, obviously, for the Issa Vachana, plus obviously there may be Shalos of Muktzah as well, because you've got candles and wicks and everything else. Another thing as well, Havdalah. Again, all of these things, basically, we could spend a shiur on each of these topics, but I just want to pinpoint the various topics. So when it comes to Havdalah, we know Yaknaha is the famous Gemara. So what do we do when it comes to the Ner? There are many that put the Ner together. The problem is, say, the poskim, when you remove that Ner, it looks like Kiboy. It looks like you're extinguishing the fire, even though really that's not happening, because you're separating two wicks, and the reason why you need to put two wicks together is because you need a dinam la'avuka, a fire, as opposed to a flame, a ner, and that's why you put them together. The mice of the Shmir Shabbos Kochas's psak is, you should make a brocha on two candles lit near each other that you not have to be touching. I asked Rabbi Orbach Shlita what his father-in-law, I know he spent many yontov with his father-in-law Rav Yashav Zatzal, and he told me Rav Yashav did very, very clearly put them together and separate them, he had no problem with this, and that's the mice of the psak. The Moshe paskens this way, the Stipler as well paskens this way, that there is no problem. Again, those that have a minig not to do that shouldn't do it, but according to many poskim, there's no problem to put the candles together for Avdala and then to distance them afterwards. Now this is a very, very important halacha that we have to mention to our wives to make sure that they keep this one as well. Now we know in Yom Tovul Zomot Shabbos and Shemini Esrei we say Vatodienu, which is a nusach of Havdala. The Magen Avraham Tov Tzadi Aleph brings, if a person forgot or did not say it, and ate before Kiddush, for some interesting reason, has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, just like on a regular Motzei Shabbos. If a person doesn't say Atachon Antonu, and he ate after Shemoneh Esrei, before Avdalah, has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Comes along the Be'er Halacha with a very, very important question, and is negated to almost every household this Yom Tov, this Motzei Shabbos coming up when it comes to Shavuos, is the women in the kitchen, after Shabbos, whatever Zman of Shabbos that they keep, they like, okay, Shabbos is out, now we can start preparing, right, we're not doing Hachana, I'm preparing, I'm putting stuff on the hot plate or whatever it is that I'm doing, heating up the soup in order for Yom Tov, which is absolutely mutter, because on Yom Tov you are allowed to heat up soup and you're allowed to do the various things that you're doing. But the Be'er Halacha brings with Kiva Eger, and the Be'er Halacha says very clearly that just like the Halacha is, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, real Havdalah, meaning ala kois. So the Be'er Halacha says the same thing over here by Melacha as well. And therefore before Yaknahas, before the Kiddush that we do on Yom Tov night, when we make Kiddush, when we make Havdalah together, the Be'er Halacha paskens, no Melacha can be done. And therefore what you have to do is you have to make sure that at least, says the Be'er Halacha, and the Rav, the Shulchan Aruch, Rav, other poskim as well, let's go the same thing, have at least to say Baruch HaMavdel before they do any malacha. Once they said Baruch HaMavdel BeKodesh, BeKodesh, then they can do any malacha. But before that, not. And again, a lot of women have this mixed up because, okay, we're making Havdalah soon. It's okay. I can do whatever I need to do before my husband comes home. No, they have to say Baruch HaMavdel before continuing to do any malacha over there. Now, that's the halachas when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Let's talk about Shavuos itself. Let's talk about the Yom Tov of Shavuos itself, Ki Yodua. We know that the wonderful, one of the most important and cherished Inyanim on Shavuos is the minhag of eating milchiks, which happens to be very interesting, because if you go through the, you know, the Mepharshim, it comes out, and every year I talk about this in the yeshiva, that it comes out that there's more of an inyan to have cheesecake on Chanukah than it is on Shavuos. Very simple, because the Ramah brings, when it comes to Hilchos Shavuos, one of the main reasons the Ramah brings, the whole reason why we have milchiks, is because you're not allowed to have the same bread that you use for meat that you use for milk. If that's the case, when I bring the milchik out, I have to bring a new bread. Once I bring a new bread, it's a zeichet to the Shteh Lechem they brought in the Korbanis and the Besman HaBeis HaMikdash. If that's the case, it's not really a reason to eat Milchus on Shavuos, it's just the Eichet Timtzit to bring the Shteh Lechem. Masha Eichen on Chanukah. Chanukah, we know, as the Medrash tells us, the Ikenes was done through Cholov, through cheese, milk, whatever it was, and therefore it could be that's the case. However, that being said, the minig in Klal Yisrael, everyone's very makbid on this, the recipes are coming out, Gavaldik, Baruch Hashem, the Noshim are busy with this, Moyudik, cheesecake. So what's the halacha when it comes to cheesecake? What bracha does a person make on cheesecake? It's not a simple shaila. Anyone that in the sugars and the Rechaim Simon Reshid base comes out very, very, very interesting when it comes to sugar of Ikav Tofel. Now when it comes to Shavuos, there are different situations. I'll tell you why. When a regular situation, a regular food, so we all go like this. This is the halacha, the Gemara, the Mishnah, and Brachos, the Shulchan Aruch, and Meishet Beis, and Arachayim, that you go like this. If there's a mezonis there, the mezonis always wins. If there's no mezonis, you go basarayv. That's the general halacha. So if you've got a salad, for example, you've got a fruit salad, you've got some bananas in there, and many, many apple pieces, you'll be making your ha'eitz, you will not be making adam, you go basarayv. If you've got some mezonis in there, which is done for the actual taste, not just a decoration, you'll also be making a mezonis on that salad, because you'll either go by mezonis, oil go by roiv. Now, by cheesecake, there are two opposite svaros going in either direction. Number one, what is the reason why we eat cheesecake? Because we want milchik. That means I machshiv the cheese on the cheesecake a lot more on Shavuos than maybe throughout the year when I'm just having it as a food, as a snack, as a dessert. Whereas on Shavuos, I want to have it for the milchik because that's why I'm making cheesecake, right? Mitzad Sheini, I heard this from a dayan in Yerushalayim. He wants the taina that the whole reason we have cheesecake is the shtei alechem. Therefore, I machshiv the mezonos on the bottom of the cheesecake because I want it to be yotzer the shtei alechem, the other one, because a lot of people don't have a milchik suda, they have a fleishik suda, and then they have cheesecake for kiddush or whatever it may be. So that wants the second alechem. Interesting. Al kaponim, if that's the case, the halacha goes like this: if it's a very thin layer of mezonos which only is there to hold up the cheese, you definitely will only be making the shahakol. If it's a very thick layer of mezonos, or, and you have to know how cheesecakes are made, that they have flour added into the actual cheesecake as well, and it's done for the texture, not just for the thickness, it's done for the taste of it as well, it adds to the whole thing, so it could be you're making mezonos on the cheesecake in that case. That's generally...
What's that? If it's a thin layer.
If it's a very thin layer, and it's only really there to even call it a cake. In other words, I'm not going to serve someone a slice of cheese. You put a layer of mezonos on the bottom, oh, now it's called a cheesecake. Oh, but I don't need the mezonos, I don't want the mezonos, I'd rather it's not there. Good, I'm eating it, then it's considered to be a tofel. So that would generally be the halacha when it comes to that.
So you buy cheesecake, you buy it for the cheese, not for the mezonos.
Doesn't make a difference if it has mezonos inside it. It's got a very thick, if it's got a very thick layer of mezonos underneath it, which a lot of the store-bought ones do, you'll have to make a mezonos. Oh, if you take off the cheese, then of course you only make a shakon on the cheesecake, unless there's a lot of flour inside
it. Saying if there's flour in the mixture of the cheese, then that's, even if there was no base.
Even if there's no base, there's a nice amount of flour that's made for the actual cake, not there just as a stiffener. Not there just to stiffen it up and to hold it together. That would be a binder that would not make a mezonos on that. Okay, moving on, Rabbi said, only because of the lack of time, I could be here all day. What's that?
If half the cheese and half is cake, you have a mixture.
No, and you make a mezonos. If that much of the cake is a mezonos, you make a mezonos on the whole thing. That's clear. If the half of it is mezonos and a half of it is cheese, you'll make a mezonos on the whole thing, unless you separate it and you want to eat it separately, which is not so posh if you're allowed to separate it. We got him. Okay. Rabbi said we probably have to go back to what can I do? We'll talk about basa b'chala, because I always use Shavuos as an opportunity to mechazik the inyan of Issa v'heta basa b'chala. It's a time where people are cooking milchiks and fleishiks all over the place, you know, for shalosh shudas, they're having this. It's a time that a person has to be careful of the halachas, and again, as we said, it's a time that we're being mekabel the Torah. Wouldn't it be a shame if we are actually not keeping that Torah which we accepted? So we'll start like this. Without going into all the details, we'll start with the Gemara in Chulin Kuches, where the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Anachama v'chamra, I am vinegar, the son of wine. Why am I vinegar, the son of wine? Because my father waited 24 hours after eating meat. He ate a steak, he waited 24 hours. Me, he said, I can only wait to suda, le suda. I can only wait to the next meal. Also, Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I don't understand. If you tell me that your father finished shas every single year and you cannot, no, I hear, so don't do it. But your father waited 24 hours, so you also wait 24 hours. Like, what's the problem? Says of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, such a yisoid from this Gemara. And he says that it shows us how a person shouldn't take on chumras unless he's holding that. And that's the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, which I'm sure everybody saw in this week's parasha, parasha B'chukaisa. He brings 42 pshatim. If you look in the 7th parish, he says clearly over there that a person should not take on chumras before Me'ir Kadin. 7th parish of the Aruch Haim in this week's parasha. Tremendous. That's what Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitz learns from the Gemara. So how do we know? In fact, the Chotka V'Rebbe, had a minig to be machmer like the Shittas HaZoya, and the Zoya Taka says 24 hours, and he was machmer like the Zoya, like many Chazdish rabbis are machmer for the Zoya. His problem was, what did he do on Shavuos? Came to Shavuos, he wants to be eating the minig of Klali sort of eating milchiks, and yet he has a problem, he waits 24 hours while eating fleish, and you have to eat fleish for Yontif, right? Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Rambam, Ein Simcha, the Bosa, Yayin, whatever. So what do? So he did a very simple thing. He took a milchik, a Ben Yoyme spoon, and he dipped it into a tea. This way I'm yaitz the minig Klali sort of eating milchiks. Like Baskin over there, the Chotka V'Rebbe. Al Kaponim, 6 hours, as we know, comes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Yeridei Siman Peites Sif Aleph, and it comes from the Gemara in Pesachim and Brachos that learns that a Suda of a Talmud Chacham one to the other was 6 hours. That was how long it took. You want to say that there's a minig of 3 hours? Beseda, you look in the Darkei Tshuva, the Munkat Show, you look over there in Peites, he brings a sheet of the Mizmor LeDavid that says 3 hours. There's also maybe Aruch. There's lots of different Mefoshim. Hashem. That's a Rambam Kushe Shoyes. We're not going into all the details over here. Agav, if a person has a suffix, which could be very negative, I don't know when I finish my Yontov meal, right? What time did I finish? I want to eat milchiks now, right? We're starving the next meal. I don't know how long it was. What do I do in such a situation? So I asked Rambam Kanyevsky Shlita the Shaila, and he told me you have to wait till you're Vaday sure 100% that you've waited 6 hours. Many are Mekel, especially because we're dealing with only a Chumrah, and the Ramah says Avadu Remachmeh 6 hours, but again, it's only Yerush Shemayim and everything else. Meikah Demi Paskin 1 hour. It's a Chumrah of a B'nai Torah to wait 6, and that's Taka the Minig, and the Chochmah Sodom says that if a person does it, he's over on the Neder. But the Maisa, if a person has a Sefsofet, there is a Mokum to be Mekel, especially if there's only Yontif involved, right? The Aruch HaShulchan is a major Chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan says, when do you start waiting 6 hours from? Do you start waiting from when you finish chewing the meat, or do you start waiting when you finish the whole meal? The Rosh Shulchan is machadish, an unbelievable chumrah. He holds you have to wait 6 hours from the end of the meal. That means at the end of dessert, you bench. Oh, now you start waiting 6 hours. Most poskim hold not that way, and that's takad halacha. We start waiting from the time when you finish. In fact, I remember when I was learning the halachas, so my chavrusa at the time we were learning the halachas, very interesting, he goes after lunch, and he said, we're going to have dinner. I said, what are you doing? I said, I just have some meat like left over from lunch. You know, I eat an hour, two, whatever it was. So hold on a second. If you're going to swallow that meat, you're going to have to restart all over again. So we ran down to the Rosh Hashiva of Scheinberg Zatzal, and he said, no, you don't have to wait another 6 hours from then. Because he already started getting, you know, absorbed into the teeth and whatever the whole situation, which we're not going into exactly at this moment of time. Certain coolers that we have. Sorry?
5 hours.
What's that?
The full 6 hours, mm-hmm. Next 5 weeks.
Yeah, right, next. Certain coolers that we have children.
Excuse me, but if you're
hungry, can't
you wait even 20 minutes?
Right. You wouldn't have to start again. You never start again. You don't start again. You start from when you start waiting 6 hours from when you finish eating the meat.
So if you have a proper break,
okay, we have to continue. As I said, I'd be here for hours and hours, but you know. Okay, let's move on. Certain coolers that we have, we know children, for example. Children under the age of 3 for sure don't have to wait. They have no problem whatsoever. Maybe make sure there's no meat residue going on in their mouth at that time. But at the end of the day, they can definitely make a women that are feeding also have a mokum. I remember I got a phone call from a fellow who was whispering when he got the phone call. I was wondering what's going on. He says to me, Rabbi, I just got married within a year ago. Right, it was in Shadow China, whatever. And his wife wasn't such a good cook yet. So he said, what can I do? Every time I came home, before I came home, I chapter vogelach, I chapter something to eat, a bereka, whatever it was, on the way from the bakery, on the way back to, you know, from Kogel. He said, today I was a little bit hungry, so I decided I would get half a shawarma. You know, I'm a bit hungry. I come home, my wife says, ah, do it all. I've been working the entire day. I've got a milchik spread for you. Can't imagine. He ran into the bathroom and called me. He said, what do we do? This is Mamish Bukhov Nevesh, right? Shalom Bayis. Magic words. Yeah, and then what can I do? Do I have to wait 6 hours? Or not 6 hours? There could be a matter neder in such a case. But again, we're not going into every situation at this moment of time. What's the reason why we wait? We have Rashi and the Rambam. We have Bosa Ben Shinayim, the meat between your teeth. And we have Moishach Tam, like Rashi says, that the taste lingers. In fact, I remember this is a real phone call, Rabbi Isaiah. I don't know what to tell you. These interesting calls, right? A fellow calls me up. He's an older fellow. He says he shares false teeth with his wife. And he wants to know that if he tastes the meat, eats meat, and he gives her the teeth, does she have to go? It's a real shayla. He really called me up to ask this question. Whether or not we have to do that or not. So we told him Rambam and Rashi in such a situation. A davar charif, a sharp item. You do not. We'll do questions after because we're running out of time. A davar charif, a sharp item. You do not have to wait. You cut an onion with a fleishik knife, even though that onion al pi halacha is a din of meat. You will not have to wait 6 hours after that onion. A challah that was cooked in a fleishik oven. Again, all these shailas come up. Shuras time all the time. People are cooking milk. It's fleishik left, right, and center. All these shailas come up. You're taking a challah. You're cooking in a fleishik oven. You used it 20 minutes ago for meat with sauce, everything was cooking inside there. The halacha is you do not have to wait 6 hours after such a challah. However, if you take chips as an example and you fry them in oil that you had previously fried schnitzel, such a thing you would have to wait 6 hours, again without going into all the details. Moving on to the other side of the spectrum, take milk now to meat. We know the Gemara tells us, Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, Sibes, and Yerodeisim, and Peites, that you need 3 things. What are those 3 things? Number one, quinoa, wiping out your mouth with a parav item. So this is very, very important, because this is what a lot of people do, is they have a milchik kiddush with cheesecake, blintzes, whatever it is, and then they go on to their fleishik yontif meal. So you have to make sure you do a kinuach, which means taking a parav item, not using something that's sticky like chewy sweets, dates, dates and lettuce and flour, which means anything sticky that sticks in your teeth, you can't use that. You used to use something like crisps or pretzels or biscuits or cake, something like that. You then wash out your mouth. What's that? You then wash out the mouth afterwards, which the Shach says can be in any order that you want, doesn't make a difference which one. And then the tillis a dime is a question if you need to. The tillis a dime nowadays, where we all use forks and spoons, and therefore we don't touch the food with our hands. Some say yes, some say no, depending on what the situation is. Now there's a question over here. We never found a person do this. Imagine a person goes home and he's eating a fleishik meal and he says, hold on a second, I can't eat this right now. I need to wash out my mouth and eat something because I need to kanoch hadoch. I had a coffee 20 minutes ago or whatever it was. People don't do this. And in fact, Chassam Sofer in Parsha Vayera writes, unbelievable Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer wants to know, why are people not mipid on this? What's pshat? And he brings a Moira to Medrash, which everyone knows. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Gemara Shabbos Peches, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to Mekabel the Torah, we know there was an argument, whatever that means, in Shemayim between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu. So what happened? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Torah is not for you. Why is the Torah not for you? We'll discuss maybe if we have a couple of minutes in a moment. But one of the reasons he says, because when you came down to this world to visit Avram after the Bris Milah, you ate Basar V'Cholav. As you know, the Gemara in Bon Metzia tells us Avram had to shech three cows because they needed three tongues with mustard, and the pasuk clearly tells us they had milk, and therefore they ate basar v'cholov, and therefore the Torah is not for you. Ask the Chassam Sofer, hold on a second, look at the psukim. The psukim say they ate milk and then they had the meat. Now that's not basar v'cholov. So the stipler wants the taina that their mouth was full of fire, and therefore there was bishul basar v'cholov going on, the kilis yakov, unbelievable chiddush. But the Chassam Sofer says, what's going on? Answers the Chassam Sofer, you know why? Because they didn't do kinuach and adocha. And says the Chassam Sofer, you see from here an amazing thing, that the entire reason for Kabbalah is the Torah, by the Elohim were willing to give us the Torah, because the mitzvah and the halacha of kinuach and adocha. So why do people do it? So Asher B'Zul Orbach Shlita, what's pshat? And he told me B'Shem his father, Shlomo Zalman, that after an hour, you do not have to be makpid on kinuach and adocha. So if you eat your cheesecake, and an hour later you're having a fleishik meal for yontif, you do not have to do kinuach and adocha in that case. Hard cheese is a suga that, you know, requires a lot of time on its own. There are those that say yes, there are those that say no, depends if it's 6 months or whammy. There's a machlokes between Ravozn and Shevet Halevi and Rebelsky in America's Zatzal that held whether or not the packaging, if you get the cheese in packaged, and the question is, it matures longer than 6 months, but not in the actual cheese factory, in your fridge, or in the, you know, in the person, that the supplier, whatever it was, does it continue its process of being matured, and thus have to wait six hours after that? Again, subject to machlokes. Rav Scheinberg, I know, told me clearly that if it's melted cheese, there's definitely no shaila. Even if you are machmeh, you could definitely be mekel on melted. And again, we're getting into that. Milchik bread, very negeh. The Ramah Yerodei Simon Salizayin says that the minig of Klal Yisrael seemed to be that on Shavuos, they made milchik bread. Dafka because of this. They wanted to have a milchik meal. They wanted shtei alechem. So the question is, you're not allowed to make milchik bread. Why? Because the Gemara tells us, if you take something which is parah, which is normally eaten both meat, both milk, you can't make it one or the other, because otherwise you might eat it with the other one. So don't make milchik bread unless it's an interesting shape that's weird, that's unusual. You say, oh, this is interesting, you'll realize. Or number two, it's a small amount according to Ramah, the amount for one day. According to Shulchan Aruch, for the Sfarim, is the amount for one suda. Also, the Kiva Eger, so what's the heter to make biscuits, pastries, muffins, and all these things milchik, and then a regular shape? Says the Kiva Eger, that's not eaten together with milk, it's only eaten as a dessert type of thing, then there's no problem of making milchik things, as though Pascha Lemaisa biscuit shuba brings in. Another very important halacha, and then we'll move on to a little bit of inyanim in the few minutes that we have. Hot plates are also very, very important. People don't like to keep the oven on, especially here. You have a 3-day yontif to keep the oven on. It's very hot, dangerous, electricity, whatever the reason is. You keep a hot plate on, you put it on a timer. It's much, much easier. And for those that want to do that, the question is, if I'm using it on Shabbos for my chicken soup, for my cholent, whatever it may be, and often can spill over, things spill, splashes, you can see that it's dirty, what's going on, and then I'm going to use it that night, once a Shabbos, or whatever it is, Sunday, Monday, whatever your day of yontif, you're going to use it for my cheese, whatever it is, kegels and lotions and whatever you're going to be making. So the question is, how can you use the same thing? So we know the Ramah tells us in Yehudea, Simon Sali Beis Yivches, Ein Kli Bolei Mikli Bolei Reitiv. That means if I have two utensils, one touching the other, as long as there's no liquid in between, nothing will be Bolei. So that means even theoretically the chicken soup did spill, and it did go all over, as long as it's dry right now and I'm putting my cheese, my cream soup on it, there's no problem. However, the Ramah said, you shouldn't do it. If you shouldn't do it, that means I don't want to do it, especially on Yom Tov, Moshav of Kabbalah said Torah. I don't understand that you can negate the Torah. So Rav Moshe and Gris Moshe as a tshuva in Chelik Gimel that he tells that the Lachatchila wasn't said on that, and therefore it's mutter. Many are choylik on that. So I found Baruch Hashem a Prima Godim in Aruchayin Simatofai and Gimel, where the Prima Godim says if you have two layers, then you can do Lachatchila. So what I suggest to most people is if you are using a hot plate for both meat and milk, when you're using it for one of them, whichever one it is, have two layers of silver foil there to separate, and then you've got no problem even Lachatchila to do that. Let me end with the last few minutes with a little bit of an inyan on Shavuos. We know that the Shavuos, the Yontif of Shavuos, is to commemorate Kabbalah Satoru. We said right in the beginning, the Rochayim HaKadosh says, the anticipation that we have for this Yontif is unbelievable, the excitement that we have for this Yontif, the Torah, even Ki'ilu, whatever that means, mixed up the order of the Psukim, because it was so exciting. There's an obvious question. And the question is a famous one. It's a Gemara Psochem, Samachesim at base, where the Gemara says, a famous machlokes which we haven't got time to go into, but everybody knows. And that is, what are you allowed to spend every yontif? Lochem ula Hashem. So there's a shayla by General Yom Tovim. When it comes to Shavuos, it's cooler, it has to be chetzi, chetzi. It has to be a little bit for you, eating, drinking, enjoying, sleeping, whatever. And also for the Rabbeinu Shalom, davening, learning, whatever it may be. So the question is, 1 second. Shavuos is the day of Kabbalah Satoru. It's the day that I would have thought, out of all the Yom Tovim, I should be able to sit and learn. If I want to sit and learn all day on Shavuos, leave me alone. I don't want to eat. I want to mekabel the Torah and make it with all the ruchnias and everything. But no, Chazal tell us you need to eat. What's the pshat in that? So it's very, very interesting. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that, again, we quoted a few minutes ago, where the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Malachim, why are you having the Torah? And he said, well, I'm having the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu answered to Malachim a number of questions. And he said, do you have business that you've been busy with, you know, problems of stealing and not stealing? Do you have relationships with people, benodim lechaveroi, that you have to be worried about being jealous? The Malachim said, no, we don't get involved in these things. Then to Moshe Rabbeinu, that means the Torah is for us. What does that mean? Chazal is teaching us. Chazal is teaching us a tremendous yesod. And that yesod is, the Torah isn't just something that we take and we learn as a book of theories and a book of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Das. But it's a way of life itself. It's a way of taking our lives and putting it into the Torah. In fact, there's an unbelievable Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi asks a kasha on Nasa v'Nishma. Ask the Beis Halevi, how can Klal Yisrael obligate themselves to something which doesn't make sense al pi halacha? Says the Beis Halevi, a person cannot say to someone, all right, I'll do whatever you say. That doesn't work. Al pi halacha, it doesn't work. Why? Because you cannot obligate yourself in something that you don't know what will happen or what will be asked of you. Says the Beis Halevi, how can Klal Yisrael say nasa v'nishma if something they didn't know? Al pi halacha, it doesn't work. It's not chal. Answers the Beis Halevi like this. He says, you know why? Because a person can become an eved. An eved means, I'm a slave, I'll do whatever you say. When you koine yourself to the master, then you're not your own person, you belong to the master, you're a chavitz of Hashem. So yes, then it works. And Nasa v'nishma taka works. And that's how the Beis Halevi learns Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma means not listen and we'll hear, but it means we're giving ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael. That's what Chazal is telling us in the Gemara Psachim. The Gemara is telling us, other Yom Tovim, you want to learn all day, you want to eat all day, no problem. When it comes to the Yom Tov Shavuos, specifically Shavuos, the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah, take the Torah and eat with it. Take the Torah and sleep and relax and do whatever you do, but do it in a Torah way. The Torah is not just a book of ethics. It's a book that teaches a person how to live his life. And therefore, specifically on Shavuos, we want a person to be able to eat, to drink, to relax, to have tanugim, to have oinig yontov, but to show it's done in a Torah way. And when it's done in a Torah, a different thing. That's what Baron Cutler famously said. There is no mitzvah on Shavuos. Why is there no mitzvah on Shavuos? Every other yontov has its mitzvah, whether it's sukkos with the dalet minim, or pesach with the matzah. Here there's no mitzvah. Says Baron, very simple, because every year that opens up a sefer on Shavuos, or any other day of the year, can have the same revelation that Klal Yisrael had in Har Sinai. The message on Shavuos Rabbeisai is, it's an unbelievable lesson, that Torah isn't just a book of laws and a book of how to do this, how to do that. It's a book of how to live, to take our lives, our regular mundane lives, and translate it and put it into the Torah to live a Torah life. In Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zoicha Be'ez Hashem, to have a wonderful Kabbalah Satorah and an unbelievable Yontif. Thank you.